Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. Welcome to our online service. If this is your first time here, we'd like to welcome you. If you don't mind, you can fill in our online connect card so that we can connect with you there and we can pray with you. You can find out a little bit more about our church. If this is not your first time, we want to say we missed you. We hope to see you and worship with you in person very soon. And on that note, I want to remind you that we have shared with you a few weeks already about our reopening survey. This survey is going to really help us in preparing for our English service reopening. So if you haven't done so already, please fill out the survey and you can use the QR code on the screen or you can find the link below the video. Today is going to be the last day for filling in the survey. And so if you need to, if you're the kind of person that would forget, why don't you pause the video, fill in the survey, and you can resume worship. Our Kapaz Children Ministry and our Youth Ministry has resumed their online program in the beginning of this month already. So if you have a young child or you have a youth, we encourage you to sign them up for online worship. They meet together through Zoom regularly to have teaching time, worship time, activity time, and sometimes game time. And this is really a great time for them to not only just to connect with one another still, connect with the church and connect with other peers, but really this is a great time for them to continue their growth spiritually. So if you want more information, feel free to connect with our children and youth pastor, Pastor Ava, or you can simply scan the QR code and go to our website to register. Just a quick word, we'll celebrate communion together next week. So please prepare the elements sometime this week so that we can partake in communion together. As we head into worship, let me invite you to stand. We're right now in this series called Give Me a Break, and we're talking about rest, talking about peace, talking about busyness and things that pack into our schedule. And so today I'd like to begin with a passage of scripture that talks about rest. And I'm going to read this psalm. This is Psalm 62 two times before we begin worship. Psalm 62. My soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. My soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. As we pour out our hearts to God in worship, I bless you to find rest and peace in Him. Let us worship together.
Declare their Maker's praise. is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget. And though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, and let the earth be glad. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let the earth be glad. The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let the earth be glad. The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let us be glad.
Spoke the light into darkness, shaking the silence of space. Set everything into motion to bring out your praise. Creation is telling a story, unveiling the depths of your love. Each detail revealing the all that you've done. Holy, holy Lord Almighty, this is the song of heaven, a song that will never end. Worthy, this is a song of heaven, a song that will never end. You spoke the light into darkness, shaking the silence of space. Set everything into motion to bring out your story, unveiling the depths of your love, each detail revealing the wonder of all that you've done.
A song that will never
Congregation, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of our song and our praise, and you are worthy of ourselves pouring out to you, Lord. So as we prepare ourselves for your word, I ask that you open our hearts, open our mind, and be ready. Be ready for what you will deliver to us. Lord, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. 2080 is a significant number. No, not the year 2080. 2080 is the number of hours we work in a year. We spend at least half of our waking hours working. Work defines us. Work defines our lifestyle. It defines our routine. It defines our area of interest, our strengths, our field of expertise. Work is who we are. Yet the most ironic and troublesome thing is we do not really understand why we work. Usually the logic is because our society functions in a monetary system. We need to go to work to make money in order to purchase all of life's necessities. Food, clothing, shelter, transportations. In essence, we work because we need to earn money to survive. But this reasoning breaks down when money is not a scarcity. When you have all the money in the world, when your bank account is so big that you don't need to think about how much you're spending, when you're Scrooge McDuck or Richie Rich or Kim Kardashian, why do you work? Is working just so you can earn even more money? Is working something to kill time? Is working for pleasure or for enjoyment or validation? As Christians, this gets even more complicated because as we read the Bible and as we understand more, we learn that we're expected to follow Jesus' footsteps and do the will of God. We realize there's this thing called the old self, this our own old human worldly desire, and that is supposed to be evil, and that we need to nail that to the cross, and we're to take up the cross, carry on the will of God and do that instead. But then it becomes a heavy burden. And we don't understand why taking up the cross, taking up his yoke, is something light or liberating. But that's what the Bible says, right? And we know that Jesus can't be wrong. So that means there must be something wrong with me. I need to surrender more. I need to be more obedient. I need to have more faith. I need to learn to be more reliant on God. In the end, we feel defeated, guilty, inadequate, unworthy. We doubt our competency. We doubt our faith. We try hard to earn our way to God, but only to find we're trapped in an endless cycle of despair. Seems pretty grim, right? But we know it shouldn't be like this. Is this the life that Jesus promised? Is this what Christ called me to? Is this what Christian work is about? Is this a life God had intended from creation? And we know it's not. Then what went wrong? What did we get wrong along the way? This morning, we will take a good look at Jesus' work theology. And from there, reflect on our own theology of work. And by doing so, regain clarity, refocus our vision, and recenter our life back to the way God had intended for us to enjoy. Now, to understand Jesus' work theology, we turn to the Gospel of John. Throughout John, Jesus explicitly explains to us why he does what he does. And in order for us to better comprehend this, we will break down Jesus' work theology into four aspects. The first aspect is mission. Mission is the purpose of Jesus' work. It is the goal of his time on earth. John 6:38 reads, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus knows wholeheartedly, with certainty, his purpose on earth is to do the Father's will. He understands completely his goal is not to do what he wants, but do what the Father wants him to do. We see this manifested into its fullest when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Everything Jesus did, the preaching, the teaching, the healing, are all centered on doing his one mission, to do the Father's will. Second, is desire. Desire is what Jesus wants to do. Not what he was told to do, but what he genuinely wants to do. John 8:29 reads, "For I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Desire is what gives us joy and gladness. Desire is what yields delights, pleasure, gratification. And we see this in Jesus' work. His ministry is not a torture. He genuinely wants to attend to the sick, to the outcast, to the undesired. We see it every time when we read, "And Jesus had compassion on them." Jesus is doing what he wants to do, and at the same time, doing what the Father wants him to do. His desire is the same as the Father's desire. And it is his desire to do the Father's will. The third is fulfillment. Logically, when you do the things you want to do, you also find satisfaction and enjoyment from doing them. John 4:34 reads, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Fulfillment is also what Jesus responded when the devil tempts him to turn stone into bread. Fulfillment is what yields contentment, a sense of achievement, appeasement. The fourth aspect is conviction. Conviction is when Jesus didn't want to do something, but because he knows he needs to, and he is supposed to, he chooses to. Conviction is the tension that hinges willingness and obedience. Conviction is what differentiates resiliency and rebellion. Conviction is the driving force that motivates you to do something even when you don't desire it, but you cognitively know you ought to and willingly follow through with it. We read from John 10, 37-38. "If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." So the four aspects of Jesus' work theology, mission, desire, fulfillment, conviction. In all four aspects, there is one commonality that congruently connects everything. The essence of Jesus' work, the core of all his ministries, the key to Jesus' ministry is the Father's will. the Father's will. Jesus' mission is to do the Father's will. His desire is to do the Father's will. His fulfillment is doing the Father's will. His conviction is to do the Father's will. The Father's will is the essence, the core, the heart of all of Jesus' ministries. The Father's will is what gives purpose, motivation, satisfaction, and gratification. This is how Jesus ministered under all circumstances, whether it was joyous, gratifying work when people believed and praised God, but also during those tiresome, gruesome, exhausted conditions, yet remaining satisfied and refreshed inside. And the secret of Jesus, the secret of Jesus' success in his work, and also the secret to our success in our work, is alignment. Alignment is what brings everything together. Alignment is the connection between all of Jesus' work. Alignment is what differentiates joyful, gratifying work to burdensome work. If you think about it, actually, it's pretty logical and easily understandable. Allow me to give you an analogy. Living in Vancouver, most of us drives. One of the things your mechanic does for you when you bring your car in for servicing is to check the car's wheel alignment, meaning to check whether all four wheels of the car is rotating correctly. Imagine if a car with four wheels each pointing at different directions. Now, just for the sake of exaggeration, imagine this. Now, usually your car won't be misaligned like this. But how would this car drive? Would it even go straight? Alignment is making sure everything is lined up properly, functioning properly for optimal performance. Same thing applies to our life. If our alignment in life is off, then we struggle to move forward. If the core aspects of our life is misaligned, then we find life difficult and burdensome. But before we can adopt and apply Jesus' work theology onto ourselves, there is one more fundamental question we have to answer, we must answer. If we do not answer this question, no matter how hard we try to align our life to Christ, we may still be wasting our effort. Going back to the wheel alignment analogy, when all four wheels of the car are pointing at the same direction, the wheels are aligned. But the car is not aligned to the proper direction of the road, and the car will be traveling in the wrong way. Hence, it is not just aligning our four aspects of work, but aligning it with a reference, the proper direction the car must travel in. What is this fundamental question we must ask? Actually, we've been mentioning it all along throughout this sermon already. The question is, what is the Father's will? What is God's will for us? If Jesus' ministry is consistently centered on the Father's will, we must have a solid understanding of what the Father's will is in order for us to align ourselves to it. So what is the Father's will? I know, this is asking like a $1 million question. And you can write volumes of books answering this ultimate question. We'll just take a chip off the iceberg. Reading from John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. The Father's will is for everyone to hear, to know, and to believe in the Son, so to have eternal life and be with the Father for eternity. The Father's will is for us to bring people to Jesus, guide them, and help them to believe in Jesus as Christ, their Savior. This is the core mission as disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. We, as His disciples, are signposts, pointing people to Jesus, guiding and directing them to the way, uncovering and exegeting the truth, embodying and demonstrating the life. This is our core mission as disciples of Jesus Christ. We, as His disciples, are called to be laborers, for the harvest is plentiful, and we are the laborers called into His harvest to gather the crop. The Father's will is not something mysterious. The Father's will is not something hard and difficult, nor is it unattainable or cost you your life to fulfill. The Father's will is calling us into a lifestyle that we would actually enjoy. It is a way of life that we would find fulfillment and satisfaction. It is a life that brings alignment to our mission and desire, our fulfillment and conviction. It is a life that endures, a life that satisfies, a life that glorifies. Do you desire such a life? I believe we all do. Then how do we apply Jesus' work theology into our lives? Let's start by looking at each of the four aspects and reflect on our current condition. Conviction. I have to start out with the hardest and most demanding question. There is no way to sugarcoat this, and it will come out blunt and uninviting. But this is the truth, and I simply preach it. The question, if our current work is clearly in no way reflecting the Father's work, are we willing to quit our job and find another one? If your work is creating tension and causing you to struggle with your faith and value as a Christian, will you be bold enough because of the conviction you hold, knowing you ought to be doing the Father's will, to quit your job and find another one that aligns with the Father's will? It is a bold and harsh question, I know. And I understand we all have bills to pay. Quitting your job is not as easy as one might think. When there's a family to feed, family to consider, there's monthly bills, kids' tuition, utilities, mortgage, groceries, fuel and gas, a sudden stop of income is not easily adaptable nor acceptable. But is the Father's will a conviction you hold true to your heart? Is aligning with the Father's will a bold step of faith you are willing to take because you know how much your God loves you and what He did for you? If you do the works of your Father, believe. Believe in Jesus. He is the one that called you to follow Him. Believe in the Holy Spirit that He will guide you and intercede for you. Believe in the Father, that He is capable of turning inconceivabilities into possibilities, that He is faithful to carry you through uncertainties, that He is sufficient to provide you with all that you need to fulfill His will. On the other hand, if your work is not contradicting with the will of your Father, then hold true to that conviction. that you will choose to have your work reflect the will of the Father in the ways you interact with your colleagues and co-workers, in the ways you deal with customers and clients, in the ways you practice and handle your tasks, in the ways you uphold your honesty, in the ways you demonstrate your character, in the ways you embody the gospel, in the ways you reflect Christ. Fulfillment. Simply doing what you know you have to do, what you ought to do, can still be burdensome and draining, unless we align our fulfillment with the will of the Father. Hence, the reflection question to ask ourselves is, what gives you satisfaction in your work? What do you find most rewarding in what you do? Is it solving and finding solution to a hard problem? Is it bringing a smile to a person's face? Is it empowering other people to be successful in their endeavors? Fulfillment is something that is attainable through our work. When we are aligned with the Father's will, our work will sufficiently give satisfaction and contentment. If what you believe is your fulfillment, but it is something that you can never be met, then that objective you're striving for is not true fulfillment. It is but an illusion or a lie that you're tricked to believing. For example, earning a lot of money will not give you fulfillment in life. There is no amount of money you earn to gain you that feeling of satisfaction. The more you earn will only result in even a stronger sense of dissatisfaction. The thirst can never be quenched. Nevertheless, this does not mean Christian is against earning money or being rich or having abundance and possession. No, that is not what I mean. That is not true. Christians can earn lots of money. But earning money is not the primary goal, nor is it that person's fulfillment. It is a byproduct. Allow me to explain a bit more. Joseph is a financial investor. Part of his work involves making wise and decisive financial investment decisions in various markets for his clients to have the biggest possible return. However, making money is not Joe's fulfillment in life. His fulfillment comes from helping and empowering people to gain financial security, or what he calls financial freedom, to alleviate them from the burden of anxiety or worrying about not having enough money, so they can freely do the things they want to do. Joe's fulfillment doesn't change what he does in his daily work, but it alters the perspective he sees his work. What gives you satisfaction in your work? What do you find fulfilling in your work? Does your fulfillment align with that of the Father's? Desire. Jesus' desire is always to do things that are pleasing to the Father. Do we do things that pleases the Father? Does our desire align with the desire of the Father? Remember we said from John 6:40, the Father's will is that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. Does our desire align with the Father's will? Does our work point people to and bring people to Jesus? But I want to push this a step even further. See, aligning our desire of work with that of the Father's will goes deeper than simply doing things that pleases the Father. Deep at its core, it gets to the fundamental question of why we work in the first place. Having worked with youth for over a decade, I have heard countless number of times university students telling me they don't know why they are still in school, besides their parents telling them they have to. But more importantly, they don't know why they need to work if not for earning money. The fundamental question of why we work as human beings goes beyond doing the things that gives us joy and gratification. It is wired deep within our humanity. It is the way we were created. As God created the first human beings, God intended for us to work. God didn't tell Adam, "Go, enjoy the garden. You can just eat and drink and party all day." No. God assigned a task to Adam. We have an innate desire to do the Father's will. It is imprinted into us as human beings. We find indescribable joy and gratification when we do what we are designed and created to do. This leads us to the mission of our work. Usually, this is how we translate this knowledge. We have our will, and there is God's will. The first step is to recognize we need to shift our will to God's will. And then we believe we need to shrink down our own will and take on God's will. But we already know that this will only lead to that endless cycle of despair we talked about earlier. Therefore, the answer is not forsaking our will to satisfy God's will. It is not suppressing or condemning our will as evil. It is aligning our mission with that of the Father's. When our mission is aligned with the Father's will, when our desire, fulfillment, conviction are all aligned, when everything is coherently aligned, we will fit into God's will. When your whole being is aligned in accordance to the Father's will, the what's and the why's will all fit together within the will of the Father. But if you're secretly withholding some selfish ambition that you know is against the Father's will, and you think you can do that, that is impossible. It is impossible to be aligned in God's will and still carry on with your selfish ambition. A car cannot have three wheels pointing in one direction and one pointing at another. This is what Jesus meant when we cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate this one and love the other, or you will devote to the other and despise the other. Therefore, align ourselves in the will of the Father. Align our mission in accordance to the will of God. Align our desire with the compassionate heart of God. Align our fulfillment when we find satisfaction in doing the will of God. Align our conviction under all circumstances to the will of God, not only in your work, but also in all of life's iffy little detail, in all those tiny everyday decisions. Choose to be in alignment with the Father's will. Alignment to the Father's will is the secret. Alignment to the Father's will is the secret to joyful, satisfying, liberating work. Alignment to the Father's will is the secret to Christian work. How am I to do my Father's will in my work? How am I to live out a testimony of Jesus Christ to the people of my workplace? How can people see Jesus through me and my work? How am I to bring people at my work to Jesus? But I understand. You might still be worried about not meeting life's necessities when you focus on the Father's will. Or you're still having doubts about losing out or being not competitive enough because how sly and how deceitful the world is. Or you're uncertain and scared because you feel like you're relinquishing control of your life to God. This is our Father's promise to us. Hear the word of God. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by anxiousness, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even when Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Can we rise?
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world. You're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens. Jesus at the center of your church. Jesus at the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of your church. Jesus at the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Church, let me bless you with the word of God. And today's passage is going to come from the book of Philippians. Philippians 2. Church, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Church, we encourage you to continue worship through offering, and you can do so by scanning the QR code or head to our website, english.mykec.ca. And that concludes our worship today. See you. Go in peace.